My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a joy and a privilege to be a child of God. There is no other lifestyle, no other way of life more rewarding and fulfilling than that of the Christian life. Today we want to think about the positives of Christianity. What is it that makes Christianity such a joy? Why is it that it's good to be a Christian? And if you're not one, what is it that'll make you want to become one? I think of the words of Psalm 1, verse 1. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but happy is the man who does or walks in the way of the Lord. The best life is the Christian life. And so today, we want to use the words of the New Testament, the words count, the words gain, and the words add, to see what it is that's really positive about Christianity. You know, the more things we can, if you're counting money, the more money you got, the more you're in the positive. If we're talking about adding things, we're talking about growing in the positive. If a man looks at his business, he's looking at what he's gained for that positive outcome. Well, the same is true with Christianity. I want you to open your Bible up to the very first principle concerning the positives of Christianity in Luke chapter 14. What is it that makes Christianity positive? What is it that we gain? We learn as Christians to count the cost. Look in your Bible in Luke chapter 14 with me. We're going to look in Luke chapter 14, and I want us to look beginning in verse 25. The Bible says, "Now great multitudes went with Jesus, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life, also, he cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Verse 30 or verse 31, "Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while he is, the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." Now notice Jesus said, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple." What's positive about Christianity? Friends, as a Christian, I am taught and I learn to count the cost. You mean there's a cost? How's that positive? Well, friend, in everything in life, there's a cost, and learning to count the cost has great benefit to my life. Look at the illustrations Jesus uses. Jesus says, think about a man who's going to build a tower. You're going to build a beautiful home, and you've got enough money to lay the foundation, but you didn't think about the plywood, you didn't think about the 2x4s, you didn't think about the brick, and you build the most beautiful foundation you could ever imagine. And that's as far as it goes. Why, every time people drive by, they're going to laugh at you, and they're going to mock you, because you didn't have the common sense to count the cost. Or think about a warrior, an army. A man's got 10,000, he's going to go up against 20,000, not hardly. Jesus says you've got to count the cost of what it means to be a Christian. We live not far from a town in North Texas called Sanger, Texas, not far from Gainesville area. It's a big quarter horse area. They have a lot of quarter horses, a lot of thoroughbreds there, a lot of people with a lot of money involved in that. And I remember this one home especially, beautiful mansion. They built the foundation. They built the rock facing on the outside, put the roof on, and yet they never put the first sheet of plywood in the inside. They never put the first window in. the whole 9 years we lived there, every time I drove by that house, I would think, what a tragedy. That is a beautiful mansion, and yet nobody lives in it. It doesn't have the first light, doesn't have the first drop of water in it, and every time it rains, the rain blows in it. Come to find out, the IRS had got after them, and they lost it all. But that mansion sat there, and everybody that drove by said, they didn't count the cost. See, it's positive for me as a child of God because I learned to count the cost. There is going to be cost in this life. Look at what Jesus says in verse 25. If anyone does not forsake father or mother, wife or children, brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Jesus is not talking about abandonment of responsibilities, but the idea is if I don't learn to count the cost of putting Jesus before others, I'll never live the best life. Jesus says a little further, whoever does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. He who does not forsake all that he has, the last verse, cannot be my disciple. I learned the cost of putting Christ first in this life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I put Christ first, and that's the best value I could ever have. Friends, as we think about the cost of Christianity, let's realize we haven't even begun to pay a price compared to the price that Christ paid. Think about the cost to God. God sent His own Son out of the ivory palaces to come to a world of sin and sorrow and to die a horrible death for me and you. You talk about cost. Heaven paid the ultimate cost. You know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Jesus gave it all up. He came and lived as a pauper, didn't even have a place to call His own. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was spit upon by His own creation. He died a cruel death on Calvary. Now that's the ultimate cost. And thus, as a Christian, positive, I think about the cost of living the Christian life each and every day. But friend, I can promise you this. Whatever cost I may pay, and whatever cost you may pay, it is dirt cheap compared to what you receive. Look at what I get as I count the cost. I get to be a child of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be called children of God. I get to be a part of God's family. There's no greater benefit in the world than being a Christian. I can look up to heaven and I can say, my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 9. I get the benefits and the rewards of living the best life in the here and now. Did you know there's no better life than the Christian life? Jesus said, I came that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. This is the most abundant, the best life you could ever imagine, the Christian life. And so whatever it may cost, I can promise you it's dirt cheap. Well, what's the second positive thing about Christianity? I want you to open your Bible, if you would, to Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Another positive of Christianity is that I get to count all my losses as gains. I get to count all my losses as gains. Wouldn't it be great if that were the case in the world we live in today? If you lost money, wouldn't it be great if you could count that as a gain? If you lost something in this life, we don't get to keep it as a gain. But look at what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. The Apostle Paul said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I don't count my life as dear to me. We get to count the cost of living the Christian life, but we don't have to count our life dear to us. That is, I'm no longer living for myself. Now, I want you to think about this. Life for each one of us is oh so brief. I'm not counting life dear to me anymore because life is brief. James 4:14 says, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. The purpose, the meaning of life. When I become a child of God, I don't count my life dear to me because I now view life differently. So many people in our world, all they've got is this life. They're living life for the here and now. They're living life from one pleasure to the next. Their greatest fear is that they will pass from this life, and they're doing whatever it takes to live life to the most here and now because that's all they have. Paul said, that's not the Christian life. I don't count my life dear to me. Life in the here and now is not what life is really about. Well, we've got to live to the best of our ability. We've got to do what God wants us to. But I've got a whole new view on what life is all about. Paul would say, for to me, to live is Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. I'm no longer living for self. Why is it that we don't count our life dear? Would you open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20? I want you to see with me this morning that we don't count life dear to us because our life is now being lived for God and it's not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His." Life's no longer counted dear because I'm no longer living for self. It doesn't matter if life comes to an end because that's all the more better. It's going to happen. It's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. But my passing from this life, that won't be the worst thing. That'll be a gain in God's eyes. Now, I want you to look at another positive benefit of Christianity. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, I'd like you to look in verse 8. And here we really want to emphasize again the idea that not only do we not count our life, but we also do count the losses as gains. Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to look in verse 8. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish," notice, "that I may gain Christ." There are certain losses that I can count as gains, certain gains that I count as losses. And friends, as you think about this, it's positive because, yes, I am going to lose certain things when I become a Christian. I may lose certain friends. The Bible says, "evil companions corrupt good morals." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. I ought to lose worldly acquaintances who are going to tempt me to do worldly things. But is that a bad thing? No, that's a positive thing, because if I lose worldly Christians, if I lose bad influences, what do I gain? I gain brothers and sisters in Christ. I gain friends who will sharpen me and who will encourage me to do right. I gain God as my Father. You know, you may even lose family members. I've known people and you've known people who, when they obeyed the gospel, mom and dad disowned them. Brothers and sisters, cousins, aunts and uncles didn't want to have anything to do with them. There is a loss there. But you know what? There's a greater gain because we gain the family of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. God is our Father. We have a new family, the family of God.